This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey guys.
Hi. Hi.
Welcome to Lady Lovin'. You know, this is the second week in a row that I, Jilly, am introducing the show, and I'm just thrilled about it. Because it gives me a chance to put some like volume into the normally monotone voice.
Flavor.
And per usual, I'm joined by my two favorite humans, women, podcast hosts, and blondies, Lo Bosworth and Greta Teitelman.
Oh, hello, you guys.
Hi.
I'm living in a goddamn jungle right now. I have these two fucking dogs.
It's about to bark at us.
And it's about to, the tiny one is just staring at me with the
She's
intent.
Looking for trouble.
She is looking for trouble. She wants to play with Pia.
She's like a single girl on a Saturday night.
Yeah, she knows we're talking about her.
Okay, well, let's introduce our beautiful guest today. We have Pia Robbio.
Hi.
Who is the creative director of LPA and also an amazing Instagram personality, I would say.
And just woman.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just a powerful woman.
And a really cute wearer of crop tops.
Thanks. This is and LPA garment. That she's Thank wearing.
Mm-hmm. I love.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really like your line.
Thank you.
How do you design it?
No,
I really mean that. I mean it like genuinely.
That was like a real question. I'm like constantly compiling photos of stuff that I like, and then eventually they all get printed out and cut up and put on a board, and then it gets like, oh, I really like, it's just like.
So it's like real storyboarding, mood boarding.
It's like picking like a theme, and then you sort of just like.
Really go for it.
Design who you want to be from there.
It's really hard. Yeah.
Do you know what I did in college?
What?
I'll tell you this, guys. I used to like pick a theme. So like tonight would be like
Sailor Night
or Game of Thrones. And then I would dress like
what
in
college
a
college did you go to?
Boston University. But I would at senior year I was like very bored. And so then I would put on like some sort of like sexy dress with like a fur coat and go
I
to
thought
like,
you were
going to
say a fedora and I was going to be like very
but
hot.
Like that would be like my Game of Thrones themed outfit, you know what I mean? Because I was just, or I'd have like a disco vibe. It wasn't like a full costume, it was just like I needed to have I needed to create an environment or else I wasn't going
to
be able
something
to enjoy myself
something to grab
myself.
On to
yeah
I used to not be able this is I shouldn't I used to have to like reference my like Pinterest board to like put an outfit together.
No, I mean I feel like a lot of people do that kind of shit.
Here's the thing with that is I would get confused. Like, how do you know what goes with what?
Well, you just kind of go like, oh, like that. Like, it's the same way you decorate a room. You're like, oh, that chair can, like a leather distressed chair, like can look nice next to like a blue velvet thing. And then you just do that with your closet.
Yeah, I used to just Google images of Rihanna for like a solid year.
That's like, so
and
aggressive.
Like literally look like I'm at a country club right now. And I'm like, yeah,
you look like you're at like a slutty country club.
Thanks,
though.
Girl. I was feeling very Gilligan's Island today.
Me too. You look like maybe you were lost, but like now you're okay. Cause there's a
now
cocktail.
I'm found.
There's a cocktail.
So Pia, lately on our episodes, we have been just like receiving so many questions from all of our listeners in need of a lot of advice. And we just feel like you just say what you mean and you mean what you say. And you just keep it real.
I've dated a lot of people and slept with a lot of people, so I feel like I have good advice.
So that's very important for us because we need a lot of women with a lot of experience.
Yeah, I have that.
We love experienced girls on the podcast.
Yeah, we you or can only come on the podcast if you're not a virgin. I'm kidding, that's not true. I would love a virgin to come on the podcast, actually.
God, that would be cool.
Sometimes I feel like I'm still a virgin.
You're not.
I know. But it's like I have that like innocence of like I don't know.
I could be re-virginized.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, I could just, you know, decide.
That you are
a virgin again.
Yeah,
you know, I think that there shouldn't actually, this is actually my topic I'd like to discuss for 2 seconds. There shouldn't be virgin and non-virgin. I don't think it should exist.
Like, you should
it shouldn't matter if you're a virgin or not
a virgin.
I feel
like I'm stoned and you just, like, blew my mind.
I know.
But you know what I mean? Like, you know how some
you're
people...
like, it's a choice.
It's like, yeah, like, why does that... Why do we even have to put a label on that? Like, there's so much pressure put on people to lose their virginity or, like, if you haven't had sex or, like, certain religious people won't marry you because of that reason. Like...
I mean, sex stuff all comes from religion. and yeah. from just shame of.
I mean, the word, even like in high school, everyone was like, "When are you going to lose your virginity?" And it's like you didn't even know.
Historically, like yeah. all this stuff comes from religion.
But like, what if we just stopped saying virgin and non-virgin, and we just lived our lives?
I feel like that's not even applicable after high school anymore.
It's like, yeah. that's so nebulous in my mind. It's hard for my mind.
I think it's more so you're one of those people that like you slept with like three people, or you're one of those people that's like 40 plus.
I'm 40 plus.
No comment.
This is the only time in my life I haven't just like spilled my guts.
Here's the thing though, my mom might listen. It depends on like literally at what age you get married. Because, yeah. like, clearly if you're single to your 40, you're going to have slept with way more people. If you get married when you're 21, like, how many people can you sleep with?
100. I mean, I know
true,
people
but
that...
I just mean, like...
Yeah.
I know people that have stayed virgins till they got married. I know Same. People that have waited till marriage.
Same. But that's what I mean. Like, why do we even talk about it?
Because I think that, like, why do we talk about anything? Whenever anything goes against what... society thinks you should be doing, it becomes interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like for someone to be 30 and a virgin is interesting because it goes against societal norms.
And your hormones.
True. Wait, Lo, you have some updates.
Yeah, Lo has an update besides my like real quick thing I just
so
did.
To get you up to speed, Pia, guys. Lo has been talking a lot about like last week she thought she went like too turbo on a guy via text.
Yeah, we confirmed.
She was confirmed. Going pretty nuts.
So my ex broke up with me in the beginning of March, and you know, he was the love of my life. He wanted me to be the mother of his children and his wife, and we dated for a while and lived together and blah blah blah.
They had a dog.
Yeah,
home.
He put my heart into a Vitamix and like turned it on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been coming back from that, and now I'm dating, obviously.
Wait, March? What month is it?
July.
That's really soon.
Yeah, but I mean,
casual dating. Casually dating.
No, I'm not saying your dating is soon, but like, oh my God, you just said you're, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I still cry every day.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But I'm also casually dating now, and my therapist told me that I was taking my displaced anger towards my ex and putting it towards these new men that I'm dating.
Course.
So like when they're being kind of like losers to me, I'm like really going in hard.
She's like, hey, fuck boy.
That's
what
amazing.
Yeah, like, so I've literally. Called a couple of them fuck boys and uh-huh. stuff like that.
You know that a listener did write into us, said that she said the same exact text to a guy and it worked?
Yes. So someone used my fuck boy thing on a text message and it worked. Like he started paying attention to her again.
Can I just say disclaimer? All the advice we give, guys... You got to make the final decision there. Just want to throw that out there.
No, listen to all of it.
Disclaimer for that, okay?
So, I have two hotties that have come back around simply because I've dropped the single word cute when
what do you mean?
Texted me.
Tell me more.
That's so interesting.
So,
my
you know
on and off again hates that word.
So, cute is like such a low-key bitch thing to say to somebody.
Oh, were you like, oh, that's cute?
Yeah.
Not even that. Just cute.
It's emasculating.
Cute. It is very emasculating.
So
that's what
one,
it must be.
Who is like one of New York City's biggest fuckboys was like, oh, like where are you eating dinner? And I was like, oh, I'm at Emily in the West Village. He's like, oh, I ate there last night. And all I replied was cute. And then immediately he was like, what are you doing right now? Where are you?
That's so yeah. funny.
And then today... another one said, hey, I'm back tonight. And I just said,
cute.
And then he replied with, so what's your afternoon looking like?
That's so funny. I say chic.
Yeah, chic is good.
Because it's
that's
really
a compliment.
No, because if you say it like, what do you, like, I ate there last night, you're like, oh, chic. It's like so epic that it undermines, yeah. it sounds like you're making
like you don't
fun
even
of them.
Care.
They don't know
it's
if they're making, if you're making yeah, fun of them, but cute's right. the same thing. Like, you cute. Don't know if you're like being condescending.
Yeah.
Or if you're just like.
LKB, low key bitchy.
Yeah, low key
bitchy. Here's my
bitchy.
Thing. Why are we talking to one of New York City's big, most whatever fuckboys?
Because it's fun.
Good and bad and it's fun.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's the thing. Fuck boys are fun. Are you dealing with any men these days?
Yeah, a lot.
What's going on?
Pia told me earlier that she loves to slide in people's DMs.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. No. Like,
what do you say?
I've never slid into a DM.
I slid into a DM with this guy recently who I know now that I've dated a million people, I know like they've all been very different, but now I know like what I want.
Uh-huh. So what do you want?
I want someone who's either Spanish or Italian, who's like silly, funny, really confident, dresses well, comes from like a nice family, is like parties, but is also a total family person.
Yeah.
Mm. Cause I want to move to Europe.
We might have to go to Hoboken for this.
I'm going to Europe.
Yeah. Not, you only have a choice of Europe or Hoboken. Sorry.
Oh my God. So pick one. Yeah.
I mean, already dated someone from Staten Island for 3 years.
Just across the river.
I'm good with the tri-state area. I'm good. I did something so bad. Okay, so I also know like the kind of like social realm in Europe that I'm comfortable in. So I basically like followed this guy who works for GQ, knowing that the people it would populate under him would be like all the like editors in fashion in Italy, like all the guys who go to like L'Uomo Pizzi.
This is a deep cut.
Lo is taking notes right now.
Like, take notes.
And it was all like the fashion guys like popped up. Huh. And I was like, oh, like this is like the kind of like genre of man I want to date, because like European men are like very manly, and if they like work in fashion, they're for the most part they're really chic. Like, so I like found this guy, and I just was like, I just DM'd him, and I was like, I think you seem fantastic, is what I said.
And what did he say back?
It's funny because he'll like write back to me, but now it's becoming pretty clear that like he has a girlfriend, but he'll like low key put her on his like Insta story, and uh-huh. So he's like entertaining me, which is sweet, like, but not saying much because he has a girlfriend. Right. But now I'm back in. Like, now I'm, like, rekindling with my ex, so... And he knows who that guy
is.
So if
Italian.
It gets back to... Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, cool. We broke up. We keep on breaking up and getting back. He keeps dumping me.
Why?
Because he knows the right thing to do is to not marry me until he is where he is career-wise. And, like, all the things that my mom ever taught me about men are, like, applying perfectly to him. Like, I had, like, a very strong, like, Italian father. And my mom, it really is, like, low-key the strongest person in our family and makes the final decisions. But she does it by way of being, like, a true woman and letting him be, like, a true man. Mm-hmm. Which, like, has him perform in a way that's, like, beneficial for everyone.
Yeah.
And so, like... My boyfriend, I'll just call him that for the sake of whatever, like, he keeps on coming to me and being like, you are my woman, I want to marry you, let's do this. But in order for him to do that, he doesn't want to take me away from my family, but he doesn't want to give up his career because he knows that he needs that. So he'll say he wants to marry me, and then he'll freak out and, like, dump me. Because he'll be like, I'm not in the financial position, and I can't have you give up your family and move to Italy yet. And so it's, like, this weird... So I know that it's like these freak outs, and I know that he loves me. So I stay around and wait for him to kind of like come back.
Right.
It sounds like heartache.
Every second I spend with him is out of a movie, and it's worth it.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Because you like are so in love.
I'm like so in love.
And so attracted to him.
Now that you're back together.
He's like moving to Italy in a couple months. Like I don't.
Where is he moving?
Like
Puglia.
But where?
Oh, to Solomeo.
Oh, cool.
It's like the middle of Umbria. It's where St. Francis from Assisi was from.
Beautiful.
You know, from the Bible?
Yeah, I love the Bible. It's a gorgeous book.
I don't know. I didn't think... So he is very strong in his decision-making, and he dumped me, and I came to New York a couple months ago, and I was like, I'm here. Like, don't you want to see me? And he said, it's a bad idea. And I said, we're going to be in the same city. You're not going to see me. And he said, I said it was a bad idea. And I was like, oh, fuck, okay. And I was like, you know what? Fuck him. And I've been dating so many people, and I'm in such a good, confident place. I've been attracting so many men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now I'm like... on multiple dates from I'm like swimming in it. And for some reason last weekend, like I wore one of his white button downs, and I like sent him a photo of me in a bathing suit with the white button down on, and he fucking lost it and was like, where are you, when are you coming here? And I was like, well, I'm gonna be there tomorrow. And he was like, come straight here from the airport, like let's do this. And so we've been hanging out for 3 days, and it's pretty crazy.
That's
or 4 days now. I know.
Wow.
Intense.
I know. And yesterday, and we were just like cool and enjoying each other. We're saying I love you. And then like yesterday we finally like talked.
And was it good?
Yeah. I was like, do you think we're not compatible? Or do you think that like you just don't, this is like too hard distance wise?
Yeah.
He was like, no, we are so compatible. Like, I love you. And like, I just got like really vulnerable with him. And he like shared his vulnerability with me back.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Isn't it remarkable when they finally open up to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like whenever that happens to me in this like on and off situation, it's like never worked out. not to like whatever, but no, I just mean, how do you know? Like, how do you know? You just don't.
Well, he's telling her.
I have to move.
Like, you need to move to Italy to be with him.
Or like maybe, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Like, I didn't know I was going to launch a brand last year. Like, my life took like a 180, like, who knows what's going to happen with him? Like, but the point is like, he's so basically what I told him, and I had to explain it to him because he's never seen Sex and the City, is that he's big.
Yes. Oh. He is big.
So I had to like Wikipedia Carrie and big, and like I explained the whole thing.
You're like, this
you're
is
like,
you.
You're like, let me tell you this very epic love story.
Yeah, I was like, it took over the course of like 10 years. And like when we ever talked about getting married, I was like, I want this big wedding. And he was like, that's not me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm Carrie. I'm like, we're just supposed to go to the courthouse. And like, I'm going to like, it's just like really funny. So it's just going to be one of those things where we see.
Okay. Well, that's a gripping
which is a
tale.
Crazy test of like patience. And like respect, and like yeah. I can't act crazy. Like I have to. It's like a beautiful practice. This kind of relationship.
Wow,
it's really weird.
Well,
I'm supposed to go stay with someone in another city in a couple days, which is also because I didn't think I was going to see him.
Yeah,
right.
You have these like
mucho
plans
complicated.
Made.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I think that we have some questions? Yes, we have a lot of advice questions.
Oh, and listeners, if you have an advice question for us, all you have to do is go to ladylovin.com and submit your advice question on the contact form on our website, and we'll get it, and then we will answer it on the show.
Gorgeous. Actually, you know what? Before we dive right into that, let's take a little listen from our sponsors. And we are back.
With some advice questions.
With some advice questions. Okay. Wow. I'm so happy you're here with us today, Pia, because these are really good ones.
I'm about to be drunk after this glass of wine.
How is the wine?
It's so nice.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Subject line of this email is help. Okay. Hi, gals.
We're here.
Love the podcast. So here's my situation. My husband and I have all but divorced. I had a really rough year with 4 deaths in my family, selling the house we owned together, in parentheses, alone, a career change, a move to a new state, putting my dog down, etc. He wasn't there for me for any of it. I went to all of my family events alone, sold our house alone, made my career decisions alone, obviously asking him for advice and input. Move to a new state alone, .. You get it. He hasn't been to any family events since our wedding in 2013.
Fuck this guy.
Fast forward a year, he's in therapy and has been diagnosed with schizoid personality disorder, which basically means he's totally detached and doesn't care about making / maintaining relationships. So here's my question. What should I do?
Yo, dude, you can't bring me into this on the first question. I gotta tap out.
Yeah, should I go?
Don't tap out, girl.
Should I go through with the divorce? I'm feeling very sad. We still talk daily. We haven't lived together since January of 2016, but I still can't pull the trigger to actually end things. I love this guy and I want the best for him. He's also so handsome, very intelligent, and my husband. Does marriage mean I should try to repair this, or is it over and time for me to move on?
So you can't repair it. He has like a disease in his brain.
But is he on medicine? Like how does, so basically he went to therapy because he knew something was wrong. So is he like on medicine? Like, is he able to understand to like have feelings? Like,
I have no idea. I mean, I would hope. I mean, he did get diagnosed with a schizoid personality disorder.
But I mean, like usually like, someone he's aware, you know what I mean? Like of his...
Let me just reread this sentence. He's been diagnosed with schizoid personality disorder, which basically means he's totally detached and doesn't care about making or maintaining relationships.
I know.
Yeah, but then you get medicine for it.
What kind of medicine do you get for that?
Oh, honestly, you get mental health medicine. Yeah. It's the way your synapses communicate in your brain, so they have like medicine. It's like having multiple personality or something.
What?
And my sister has like a crazy, she's like really fucked up her relationships, and after her like second divorce she like went to therapy and they were like, I mean, it's like, listen, like when you, I have a friend who went through this, like her husband had a stroke like 3 years after they got married and is like, was like, couldn't really move that much. So it's like one of those things where it's like, that's like why you get married. It's like for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
By promise and law and definition of marriage, like you, and she loves him.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to stick with that person. I mean, I guess like what I would do is like put together your like life goals. Like, do you want to have children? Is it responsible for him to have children? Like, with how much is the medicine going to work? I mean, I would say just like do everything you could to like make it work before you realize it can't.
I would say in this email, it sounds like you want to try. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean moving back in together. That doesn't mean they opening up again, your whole maybe, entire right? life. That maybe means just trying to date.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I would say. Like I said earlier, disclaimer, like, you know, we're just giving our opinions. So obviously do 100% what you want. But I think that if it sounds like you still want to try, and yeah, I would do that. I would date again. I wouldn't live together. I would.
Well, they haven't lived together in over a year.
No, I know. But I mean, I wouldn't like rush back into things. I would just try. And I would also talk to his doctor. You know what I mean? Yeah, I would definitely
go to therapy together. Couples therapy.
And that's the thing. It's like if you want to try, try. If you don't want to try, then don't try. Here, you know what I mean?
I feel differently than you guys.
Low feels like run for the hills.
I feel really differently about this.
I feel in between both of, I feel like I'm the middle ground of these two feelings. Lo, what are you feeling?
I think that I would be so hurt by what has transpired in the relationship that I wouldn't be able to stick around for continued trauma and pain. Because at a certain point, even if you're married, if you're being treated like shit, even if it's because of some kind of mental illness or disease, you have to put yourself first. And I just don't think it's a good idea to endure so much like stress and heartache and trauma. So I don't know. I kind of think that she should maybe cut her losses.
I think if there was no diagnosis, yes. But I think that this is something that people experience in life, whether it's like this or like Pia was saying, like her friend, you know, with the guy with the stroke. It's like, you know, that sort of like
a stroke is different than this. To
I don't
me.
Know. Look, I mean, also think that this change.
I think that this man is really gonna he is going to need to decide if he really wants to work on this. On the on his issues. And I mean,
that's
going to also be a lot on him. And it's like he is going to need to work just as hard at the relationship as she is, because you can't have a relationship with one person doing all the work. And it sounds like she's been doing all of it. And look, like I understand if you are staying married because of the institution of marriage and what you think you should do, don't do it. But if you want to stay married because like you really love this man and you want him to be your husband, and similar to what Pia said too, think about your future. Think about your life. Do you want to have children? Do you want to have a family?
Are you comfortable having children with this person?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's like the responsible thing. I think that like love isn't enough. Yeah. So to say you're supposed to stay married, like only if you love that person, like my grandpa, like that's not what it's been for the history of time. The history of time is like you make a decision
and you stick with it.
All that, you know what I mean? Like I'm very much like I have that kind of approach, but I think it should be, talk to his family, your therapist, like give it some time with some like medicine, and therapy can literally
change someone. It can
change
your life.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree. I just wish I had more
I think it's the
info.
Fair thing for him. And what did she say? They're talking every day. Like, she must be so sad.
I know. Yeah. So I think, I mean, we all agree. Just couples therapy, seeing what happens after he starts taking medication and going through treatment. But also, if it doesn't work out, at least you know you tried.
Yeah.
You know, at least there's that.
Yeah, and you could also give yourself a time.
Like, well, we're thinking of you, girl.
We are. You're sending you love.
Sounds awful.
All right, next question is the subject line, starting all over again at 31.
Girl.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Hello, girls. Hi. I love your podcast.
Hey, thanks.
I just turned 31 this month. I'm generation 86, like Lo and Jilly. And recently, my work contract ended. So I'm now in my 30s, single, unemployed, and living with my parents again. I have an opportunity to move to another state, which I want to because where I am now, there are not that many opportunities for me. My problem is that I'm very attached and close to my parents. They're in good health, but they're old. And although I have sisters who live in my hometown, I feel that they are my responsibility and nobody else will take better care of them than I will. I would not want to leave them, but at the same time, I feel like... So, yeah, that's what it is.
Dude, I moved to New York when I was 18. My dad was in the hospital. My grandmother had just died. And my mom, like, put me on a plane. Like, now it's fast forward 12 years. Like, now I live 30 minutes away from them in LA. Like, you just like never know. And I get like, the only reason why I live in LA now is to be close to my family, but I was away from them for 8 years.
A long time, yeah.
And if your parents are in good health, like the only reason why I live close to them is like, my dad's not in good health. He can't just like hop on a plane. He can't like rip around. Like, this is like a nice opportunity to like live your life. The only thing that's going to make your life better is a severe change. It's the only thing that like I know to be true is like take a chance and make a change. And if your parents can like meet you in your city or like go on weekends or like go home, like, oh, get out of there.
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes like you hold on to your parents or to things that feel safe and comfortable, and that doesn't allow you to open up and discover something new about yourself, which would then allow you maybe to meet a new guy, to start a new career, to have all these different life experiences. So I think even if you just do it for a year, you should do it.
I agree. I think you need to get out of that, out of the parent home, especially if they're in good health, girl.
Yeah, dude, you're fine. My dad's been dying for 10 years and I was still like, I gotta live my life.
Probably also her parents want her to go out and experience her life.
Yeah, your parents want you to live.
I talk with my parents about this a lot because I've lived away from home, like Jillie, for more than 5 years now. And I hold on to so much guilt every single day that I'm not in Southern California, that I don't live in LA, that I'm not close.
I don't have any guilt.
I have so much guilt and it eats me up inside. And I talked to my parents about it, or I have started speaking to them about it more often in the past year because it's just hard for me.
Of course.
And they, of course, want me to come home and to be close to them, but they also say, don't you worry about this for 1 second.
Right.
Yeah. You have to live your own life. Don't feel guilty. Yeah. Like, go do what you want to do. Like, fulfill your own dream.
My parents always were like, you need to leave your home in order to just discover what you want. You know what I mean?
I almost just moved back in with my parents. Like, I was like about to sign a lease, or I did, was signing a lease for a place that like I kind of can't afford, but it's so beautiful in Venice. And my parents are 30 minutes away. My dad's been in the hospital. And I was like, you know what? Like, I should just move home and, like, help you. I was telling my mom, I should just move home and, like, help you. My mom was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is my life. This was my choice. Like, I love your dad. Everything's fine over here. She's like, make a home for yourself so you can attract all the beautiful things that you want for your own life and not get and not drown in ours, and like help me when I ask you for help, and like come home when I need you, and like you being happy is what makes us happy.
That idea of building a home has been like very important to me recently, because like I lived with a guy when I was in LA and we were like planned to get married, it was like a whole thing, and we broke up when I was 25. And so every apartment I've had since then, I like was like, I don't want to spend any money on furniture. I don't want to like buy a bunch of shit because like nothing's permanent, like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I get that.
And like, I really feel that you have to build a home. Like you have to have
a comfortable place. I'm the happiest I've ever been since I moved into this place.
Because you're attracting, like, you're not going to attract the right people in your life and the right opportunities unless you have something that sort of like grounds you.
That means like a tangible thing that gives you self-worth gives you pride, makes you feel good about yourself. Like when you walk home to a space, it's beautiful that you created. Sometimes like wearing an outfit or like feeling good about your body, or like when you work out and you feel good, like all of that just like puts together this picture of you feeling like proud.
And it just starts to develop your life. Starts actually creating your life and you feel like you are an individual.
That's a lesson that I like literally just learned though as a 30-year-old.
My house is a work in progress. So much shit everywhere.
It's beautiful.
I love my house.
It's a very nice house.
Greta's house is so great because she has our friend who, naked on the wall.
Yeah.
You know Katie Durko?
Katie Durko? She's naked on the wall.
Shout out to Katie Durko. We love you.
Oh.
And you're naked on Greta's wall.
Is that please tell me that's a real tram stamp.
No, my friend. It's the Dodge logo.
This is a piece of art.
It's in the Swiss Institute.
Yeah.
Was this a hand painted?
No, my friend Ian, who lives now in LA, who's an amazing artist.
But what is this, a painted photo of Katie Durko?
No,
like a
she
photo?
Is painted and it is a photo.
But she has paint on her body.
She has paint on her body, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The tattoo is painted on her.
Got it.
And she has like brown painted on her. She has like a lot of like airbrushing stuff.
And what
going
is
on.
This? She has a Dodge logo and she's naked sitting on tires. So what is the symbolism?
It was a larger ensemble photo based off of a Picasso painting.
So just for our listeners out there who can't see this, yeah, it's basically
on our Instagram.
I fucking hate art, dude. That makes no sense to me.
It's a beautiful naked woman photograph, yeah, with paint on her body, sitting on a tire with like a rope and a Dodge tramp stamp tattoo.
Well, my friend Ian called me like years ago and he was like, do you know anyone in LA who'd be down to do this? And I was like, he was like, I want them to have a hot body and I want them to be blonde. Durko. And I was like, oh, I absolutely know someone who would let you do this. So there's that.
She's a hot piece of...
Are you guys ready to do beauty. One more question?
We are. And by the way, yeah, when I say tramp stamp, I hope that doesn't offend anyone.
No, I would love it. I want a tramp stamp.
It's the technical name for it.
It's a lower back
tattoo. It's actually a technical term. It's what it's called.
I have the... We should come up with a name for like the cheese ball into wrist tattoo.
Oh, yeah. This
cheesy ankle tat. Because
what
I have
about
both
the side tattoo?
I have that too.
Me too.
Me too. My poor, I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah, because you're an angel.
Yeah,
from
Laguna. Like,
you're
smart.
You guys, I don't know if you knew this, but I have a tattoo.
Your tattoos are so petite.
Listeners,
and beautiful.
I know you don't think I'm edgy, but now you do.
She's edgy.
I like tattoos, though. One guy I'm hung up on has like 100
a billion.
Tattoos.
Guy tattoos are so different.
You can read his body.
Yeah.
I look like a biker.
No, you don't. You look like a hot babe.
Only because I dress nice, but naked.
I mean, no.
Either way.
Please, naked. I have a lime green lightning bolt tattooed above my vagina. So when I'm like, it looks like my pussy is sponsored by Gatorade, honestly.
Wait, that's...
What's the Gatorade tagline?
Yeah, I was just like
quench your thirst.
Quench your thirst.
Oh my God! What if you got quench your thirst tattooed next to your lightning bolt?
That I honestly so should.
No, that's all I would say to anyone who has access to my vagina.
Yeah, like quench your thirst, bitch.
Have you ever said that to your boyfriend?
No, I should. Maybe it's his birthday today. Maybe
oh,
I will.
Maybe say it tonight.
I will. Like quench your thirst.
I used to say it. I still say it. I can't remember. Because my boyfriend dresses so nice, men or people would be like, are you gay? Because he like, you know, he's a head to toe, like suit, shoes, the whole thing.
He kind of looks like a model too.
Yeah, he's just Italian and it can be very gay. So he's like, these people, sometimes they think I'm gay. And so I got drunk one time and I was like, prove to me you're not gay with your mouth.
Yeah.
Which is what I say to him all the time. Really,
and he did. And you know what? He did.
Way. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Yeah. Accidental friend zoning is the subject of this email. Hi, my favorite lady loves. I feel like I am accidentally friend zoning everyone.
Ugh,
for
me
some
too.
Background, I'm very outgoing and will talk to just about anyone and would love to think I have a healthy balance of friends. I'm 25 and I live in D.C. where the dating scene is bleak. Popping. I know, girl. I'm from there and it's terrible.
I was going to say hot.
No,
yeah,
the D.C. dating
all
scene
the startups,
is...
all the hot dudes.
No, dude. The D.C. dating scene
is
whack.
So many guys in boat shoes, you know?
No, what you need to do is you need to hang out in Virginia and get yourself a CIA agent. That's hot.
I have one of those.
Ugh, wait, I want to hear more about
slide
that.
Into PSDMs slide into PSDM and she'll introduce you to a hot CIA agent.
Okay, hold on. She says, that being said, I'm not necessarily out looking for anyone, but when I do meet a guy, I somehow manage to friend zone them even if I think I'm flirting. I end up becoming really good friends when the initial approach was maybe I could be interested in you in a romantic way. One minute we're chatting at a bar and 20 minutes later he's asking me for advice on how to pick up girls. What is the best way to avoid friend zoning myself when meeting a guy?
You gotta be sexy.
And how do I get out of the friend zone once I'm there? What do you think distinguishes I want to be your friend from I might want to see you naked?
I feel like I friend zone guys a lot, but then it's like once they're like wanting to be my friend, I'm like, no. And then I just walk away.
I don't have
so I don't
one
have that
friend
other
as a man.
We know.
Unless they're gay.
I have so
sorry
many guy friends.
No, I just mean like I feel like I do the same thing, but I don't know if this girl does this, but whenever I'm like attracted to a guy or I like a guy, I think I get really nervous, and so I'm not as like flirting. I think I'm flirting because I'm aware. Like you become aware in your mind that you're like I'm interested in this person, and then it kind of changes you instead of like keeping you relaxed.
Got it.
So like that, I would also like your guys' advice on this question.
I have a bunch of male friends as well. I just feel like there's a difference, and like maybe you're not being. I don't want to say like sexual. That's not the word I'm going for. But I think that there's a lot of like body language you can be using.
Touching. You could touch a shoulder. Like a touch.
I'd love
arm.
To touch a shoulder.
Yeah.
Also, like, let your eyes kind of go up and down their body while they see you do that.
You're looking at me to say something, but like, the one thing that I've realized lately, this sounds insane to say out loud, but like, the one thing that I realized lately is like, I just like, and it's just because I'm like a Scorpio, like I naturally like exude sex. So I have to be more careful about like if a man is kind of drunk around me and I flirt with them, like I can get them to sleep with me.
Right.
And so like I have to be responsible about, I just got new fake boobs. Like,
yeah, you need to be responsible.
Like, I just have to be like, men are, like, I didn't realize it, but like since I got these boobs, like dudes walk down the street and they're just like, duh. Like,
yeah, having boobs is a lot.
It's crazy. It's like what got my ex back. I like sent him a photo in a bathing suit with like the new fake boobs and he was like, yo, like what?
What's up?
It's so sad.
Very
but
primal.
But it is primal. Like,
so we need to be more primal, you and I.
So you should get fake boobs is basically what it comes down to.
No, I have boobs, but I also feel like when my boobs are out, I'm attracting the wrong thing.
You have to be, so that's the thing, right? So I go from like sexy and then I tone it down with being super bro to like, so then you gotta, so if you're a super bro, like you don't need to dress like a slut, but like I think there's something to be said about like, you know, being like a little bit like play more of an eye game. Like don't be like so cool. Like, I think if you like do your hair a little bit and like dress in a way that like maybe you're not used to or something and you feel like a little bit more like aware of your sexuality, you might hold yourself a little bit different when talking to a man rather than just being like, oh, hey, what's up? Like,
yeah. How do you cross, don't like do that line without like looking desperate?
I think that
it's hard to look desperate. I feel within like the you're, first like, I feel like 30 you would minutes be good of meeting at this.
You think?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's really hard to
because you're not like in your bra,
desperado,
like I'm ready.
Like,
well, because you also
no,
don't want to,
but it's like, just like, hey, wait, we just met.
Yeah, but men are cocky.
Yeah, but
you be cocky back.
Yeah, be cocky back. I mean, here's my question for you: do you masturbate? Because I think that being in touch,
low PMI, are literally just like, did we miss part of the question?
Hold on, there's a wild detour.
Yeah, okay, wait. Let's hear it, Greta.
Is why.
Okay.
I think that like, if you aren't like vibing with yourself, like feeling yourself sexually and like figuring out like what gets you off, like what makes you feel horny, whatever, I think that masturbating is a really important thing. Like, I've gone through bouts of my life where I have not masturbated and been in the mood, and I've found that I just like haven't really felt sexy. And masturbating for me is something that like makes me feel sexy because it reminds me that like I can have sex and be like a sexual person, and then it inspires me to, you know, just like be in touch with my femininity and my bod, and then it just makes me feel a little bit hotter.
Also, I think if you are out and you make the decision, I'm deviating away from masturbation, if you are out and you are putting out the vibe that you are there and you're single and you're there to meet guys, like you will literally like a different energy will be released from
that's
body.
What I mean. How do you come across available but not desperate?
Make a decision in your mind.
You make a decision
tonight,
that you are available.
I'm available, and shoot that energy out of your eyeballs and out of your
literally.
Pussy.
You guys, can I ask a question now?
And yes. Like, sit like in a cute flirty position.
Yeah, and when you
and,
see
like,
a guy, like
guys,
look at him. I met a guy on Saturday and he was so cute. He kept on looking at me and I just kept on being like, and like would walk away.
Yeah.
And then like an hour later he was like, or he didn't, no, I'm drunk. I was drunk and now I'm remembering. He didn't say anything to me, but he was talking to a mutual friend of mine. So I went up and talked to that friend and I was like, hi, I'm Pia.
Yeah.
And like, like looked him in the eye on some, like, we've been looking at each other all night. And then, because he didn't know if he should approach me.
Yeah.
And then I got his number. He's been like texting. You know, it's like, it's kind of like a, you gotta like be available with your eyeballs.
Oh, I also just thought of something.
What?
Be available, but not too available right away.
No.
Do what Pia just did. Like, get the number, walk away.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Like birds.
Say hello, and like, then have him chase you. Like, no reason to sit down at a table and drink three beers and like, bro out for
yeah,
an
don't
hour.
Bro out. You got to be like, I'm out.
I'm very good, like, once I get them.
What?
I said once I get them locked in.
Yeah. Locked in is
but like sometimes I just don't make an effort because I'm tired.
Things are weird and everything is like, there's nothing that's super, like, this is awkward, like so insane, but like, so my on and off again yesterday in this very open conversation we have talked to each other about the people we've been dating. And he had such an interesting perspective about these girls that he's been dating that like do things wrong. And it's been so fascinating. And he was like, a lot of the time, like American girls will, they get nervous. They don't know what to do, so they give this whole spiel to you, like, too soon.
Yeah.
Of, like, once they start talking to you, he's like, they want to be in control, and so they're, like, independent. And so, like, this girl, he's like, I'm going to order wine. And she's like, well, I really like this kind of wine. And da-da-da. And he was like, okay. Like, men, at the end of the day, this is, like, getting back to, like, what my mom always told me. He's like, I think, like, men ultimately, like, want to feel like the fucking man. And if you try to, like, overpower them and, like, talk too much and give this whole spiel, it just seems like it's just a lot. It's like,
yeah. Well, you don't like that when men do that to you either. So, like, no. Think about it both ways. Like,
yeah.
No one likes that happening to them.
Right.
Like, I don't want a guy fucking hounding down my throat telling me some shit. Just, like, they don't want that either.
But it truly comes from, like, who you are internally, right? Like, I know girls who are 35 and single who are wonderful girls. But, like, men, these are girls who, when you talk to them, everyone has that friend who's, like, when you talk to them, it's, like, Miranda in that Sex and the City episode where she's, like, oh, just mean single. You know, just, like, how are you just single? Like,
right.
It's gross. And, like, men, before you even say that, like, they feel it from a mile away. And if you're nervous that you're too much of a bro, like whatever you mentally feel about yourself is like what you're, is like your underlying
vibe,
like thing that you're projecting.
Yeah. Here's my last question.
What?
So my friend, this guy that I know that I work out with at SoulCycle, was like, we hung out a few times and he's like, you're perfect for my friend, like blah, 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 like text his friend. He's like, you have to meet this girl. Whatever. And I'm like, well, just give him my number and like whatever, he can ask me out. So like he's like, oh, we should just all go out to dinner together, like a group situation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually happening Saturday night. And so this guy like knows about me and I know about him. Like, how the fuck do you go to a dinner like that and it's not awkward?
It is a little awkward, like, but you know what I mean? Your friend is a buffer and just you should be happy that your friend is there and like not worry about it.
But like, it just seems odd. I'm just like, why don't you just ask me out if you're interested in
me? Well, because like, I actually think that this is a better situation.
All right.
This is a very low pressure situation. Because if you go to this dinner and this dude ends up being whack and you're not feeling it, then it's literally just like a friend dinner.
True. But it's like, I also feel that I'm 30 and like, can a man not, like, is he like not man enough to ask
what
me
are
to
these
date?
But like,
it's not a rule. I just mean like,
I get what you're saying.
I would agree, like an aggressive guy. And like, if you're not going to ask me out, then how are you, like, I don't know.
In this day and age, like, with blind dates, because it is a blind date, you have to give people, like, a little bit of leeway versus, like, if you knew this guy already and he was trying to go out with you and your friend, like, you have to cut people a break when you don't know them. And also, he doesn't know you. He owes you
absolutely
nothing.
Men are nervous, too. Yeah.
I don't know him
exactly, but I'm saying he has zero obligation to you. Yeah. So, like, just go out to a group dinner and see if you vibe.
It's an easy way to, like...
I think this is better.
I think it's so... Anytime
I've never done one of these. I only go on, like, straight dates or, like, hookups.
No, this is fun. Is it just you? Or, like, is it three of you?
No, it's, like, a group.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Great.
That's so chill. You're
such a low pressure.
And you guys, guess what I'm going to wear?
What?
LPA the label?
LPA the label.
That's amazing.
That was a great. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you. Well, that's the whole point behind my brand is to like feel like
it's very fun and flirty
and fun and flirty.
I want everything that you have.
The care label says like warning, this garment increases your chances of getting laid by 30% because it's like, for me, like, you know, whatever, all of us have our things. Like, I've had, like, weird body dysmorphia and had, like, weight issues for a long time. And, like, I've just realized, like, the power of certain things and, like, clothing and making, you know, having my hair the way I like it or whatever. And, like, when you feel good about yourself, like, the world is just, like, a totally different place. And, like, that's the whole goal of LPA, is to just, like, feel fucking good. And I make hoodies and I make leather jackets. Like, there are times where I feel so good in, like, a cool hoodie and, like...
Yeah.
You know, in like a workout pant and like a Nike, and that makes me feel sexy. So it's kind of just like, then that like attracts a lot, right?
What do you think your like advice for finding your confidence? What would you say to all of our lovely listeners?
I think the world is insane. I think the world is insane, and there's like so many photos of hot girls on the internet and on billboards and everything. And I get so intimidated all the time by my own close friends. I grew up with like a bunch of like very skinny blonde girls who were like married, and like I'm not that. And it's kind of like, well, I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, the only thing that like I know how to do is just be myself. Mm-hmm. Like, and just be like my best self. And like, as soon as I started like leaning into that, and instead of trying to be, I feel like a lot of women, like there's like this really funny, like Amy Schumer skit where where women give each other compliments, and the woman that's getting complimented is the girl's like, "You look gorgeous." She's like, "Oh, no, I don't. I'm like a fucking dumpster right now. Right. I've only been eating pizza." Like, the way that women talk about themselves and the way that women talk about each other lately is so fucking sad and gross. And I think that once you just start thinking positively and like choosing to say nice things about people and yourself, everything changes. And it's literally just practice, and it's magical.
Yeah.
Like, it is like straight up magical. Even it works when like another girl's name comes up and someone's like, doesn't like her, you know something bad about her, to not say that bad thing and to say something nice about that person changes your brain function.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
And then you do it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, instead of being like, "Oh, I'm like a cow," it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm not a cow, and like, also, who fucking cares? Like, I'm thick. I'm thick. Like, I'm not a skinny person. Like, I'm like a solid 6'8", like gotten up to a 10 before, been down to a 4. And like, no one's never not fucked me because of my weight. They've not fucked me because I've been a psycho negative asshole.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like, you just have to like love yourself. It sounds so cliche, but it's so true.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's very true.
Agree.
That's my advice.
I felt really great yesterday. One of the first days I felt really good since my ex broke up with me, and it felt like a life-changing day.
Life-changing.
Yeah. You looked super hot yesterday.
Thank you.
What were you wearing?
Just like a dress.
Like a little dress. So good.
A little dress.
A little dress and like, a pump.
Yeah.
We all saw her because we had a meeting yesterday, and we were like, "Lo, do you have a date tonight?"
She New was York's like, also dope because you walk around the street and you feel good, and all the dudes are like, "Yo, Ma, are you a model?"
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, and you're like, "What? Maybe I don't know."
Well, because it really is a fashion show because you're like around so many people.
Yeah. No, but I loved it. I was like, "Lo, you look so cute. Do you have a date? Like, why?" And she was like, "No. Like,
no, you dress for nice me." For
yourself. And I was like, "Get it, girl."
Yeah. It was great. It was a great day.
So we end every episode with our guest getting to choose their lady lovin', which is a woman that they love and admire and that they, you know, look up to or just has influenced them in some way. And they can be dead or alive. It doesn't matter.
Fictional.
Yeah, it can be anything.
Which is like so cliche, but just like my mom is like,
yeah, mom's
so
the best.
Good. She's really good. I have a good one.
What's your mom's name?
Her name is Margaret Arobio. She looks nothing like me. She's a little Danish woman. And she's just like, she's really fucking cool. And she's also not one of those moms that's like, "I'm a cool mom." Like, she's such a mom, and she's very graceful. Like, every man in my life that's ever met her has been like severely like attracted to her. Like, when I was like in high school, like, and it's not because she's like, you know, she's not like facelifted. She doesn't have any injections. Like, she's not that. She dresses very classy. Like, she's not. Mm-hmm. Because she's such like a woman who's like very confident and like smiles a lot. She always has really good advice about men and gives me the best advice always. And I have like a very hard time with, I think that we have like fucked men over with like our independence and like this like intense feminist movement lately. And I don't think men like know how to compete with us anymore. And I think we've like emasculated a lot of them. And my mom knows like a really chic, elegant way around making like a man feel like a man without like losing herself, mm-hmm. like keeping her power as like an independent woman, but also making sure that like, there's little things like make men just really feel like men,
masculine,
and then ultimately like not have them in your hand.
Yeah.
And like, my dad is like a big gnarly like Italian guy, and she and I both, like, we have my dad in like the palm of our hand. He's like a very scary guy, and it's because we like make him feel really good and like take care of him. And I think that there's something about that that's like very powerful. You know, she sticks up for herself when she needs to, but she's also like doesn't fight about dumb shit to make a point.
Right.
And I think that that's really important. And she's just really nice.
Great. Pia's mom is our lady lover.
Thank you so much, Pia.
Yeah, it was such a great time. thank you for coming and joining us. Where can all of our listeners find you and get LPA?
LPAthelabel.com.
And on the Instagram?
At LPAthelabel.
And what's your Instagram?
Pia Arobio.
Gorgeous. Everybody.
Thank you guys. And thanks for all of your questions. We are going to try to keep answering them every episode.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. Ladylovin.com. Yeah. Contact. That's it.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Love you.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.